Hello, everyone, and welcome to the most accessible podcast in the world, House of Games. You can access us on your podcast service of choice, YouTube, X, Rumble, Facebook, and the list goes on and on and on. As I said, the most accessible podcast in the world. Today, I'm joined by my hard of hearing host, Otto. Otto.
What?
Can you hear me? Otto.
Hello.
All right, here he is. And in his blind spot sits me, Rune. The amount of inappropriate jokes I can do is insane. So let's just roll up that ramp and enter this week's episode of House of Games.
Welcome to this week's episode of House of Games, and this episode will be number 50, so we are approaching 1 year, actually, which will be number 52. So I think for this episode, as we're approaching, we are actually recording quite close to releasing, so I think for this episode we will do some more news to, since it will be... They won't expire that much when you hear this, hopefully. With that said, I think I'll just read the headlines and then we'll just go into one of them and then proceed on. The first item that I think I will talk about is the 25th anniversary of Half-Life. So they did a documentary for it. They did a bunch of updates to the game, which is really old. So I will talk about that, and after that I'm also gonna talk about the leaks from GTA 6, which has some details about what we think the game will be like. And then there's the Steam Deck OLED model, which was released. I think you could call it like a Steam Deck 2 with better hardware and stuff like that. So that will be next. And then lastly, I think we'll talk about there was an announcement that there will be a Legend of Zelda movie coming out. So that's what's in the roster. So I think the first one that we'll touch upon is the Half-Life one. So Rune, if I remember correctly, you hadn't played Half-Life before.
Oh, no, I have.
You have? All right.
Yes, yes. Not a big PC gamer. Maybe that's why you thought I hadn't played it, but I did play it back in the day. I think I must have mentioned that in this podcast, because that was the first time I experienced this thing where things are happening in the game while you're not looking. And I thought that blew me away. I thought that was so impressive. Just from the start, when you're in this gondola ride, you can look to the left while you see these machines are doing stuff, or you can look to the right and you won't see it. Or you just look at the guy with the suit. He's riding with you, right? Anyway, there's so many things you can miss if you don't look at it. And even though I was so young back when Half-Life was released, I was really impressed by it. And which is weird, because I remember something I also think I mentioned in this podcast. When people talk about playing Super Mario 64 for the first time, they say they had this experience like, wow, that was so cool running around in 3D and so on. I did not feel that at all when I played Super Mario 64. And I'm not sure why I didn't, like, that seems to be like an uber, like most people thought that was amazing how you could run around in Super Mario 64 and jump and all that stuff. I didn't think about it, but Half-Life is my sort of moment, my first sort of, wow, this is so cool that I can totally miss something by not looking at it. It's a weird thing to pick up from Half-Life, but that's the strongest memory I have of Half-Life. But you, as a PC player, I assume, have played it.
Yes, absolutely. So actually I hadn't played Half-Life at all or any of the Valve game except for Portal going into high school at all. So I think there was at some point I read, you know, another article about how, like, I think it was PC Game or something, like the best games of all time, and then Half-Life 2 was on the top. You know, I've heard about the game before, but I had no idea what it, like, was about or what you did in the game or anything. So I thought that I would just play through all of the games from start to finish, which I did like in one of the years in high school. And I was also like blown away, like how could I miss this? This is just such a great game. I mean, from everything from like gameplay and graphics to like the story and everything. So it was just amazing.
Have you played the VR version?
I have not. So yeah, that's the only one that I haven't. I wish I could play it, but you know, like putting $1,000 into VR equipment and then having a good enough computer to go with that. I don't know if I can just justify that for a single game that I would like to play, because that's the only thing that I really, really look forward to. And like for the rest, I haven't really, you know, gotten the thing about VR. I don't think it's that as much fun as just playing like regularly. I don't like having some stuff strapped on me, and you know, I just want to be able to also look at my phone or like talk to people next to me or whatever, not just be entirely enclosed in something when playing stuff. I don't know, maybe it's that's just me.
Yeah, well, I absolutely love VR, and I really want to play this Half-Life game. That's the only one I'm missing too. I played the Alyx, I believe it's two games, if memory serves. And I also believe you play as her in this VR game. Anyway, I do, fingers crossed it will come to PlayStation 2 VR. I don't play on PC. It's just, to play games on where I work, it's the worst distraction ever, that and my cell phone. So I don't mind popping on a VR headset and not seeing anything else in the outside world. But it is weird to play when like my wife and kids are home. I remember with the original PlayStation VR, on PS4, I played Ace Combat in VR. And then my son just learned to walk, and he was like walking around, and I was sitting there playing. I was like flying this spaceship, aircraft. And then I remember he just walked up to me from in my dick area and punched me in the balls. And I was a bad memory. And I was just so shocked because, yeah. So playing VR is with your family around, that's not nice. But this PlayStation 2 VR and the one Valve made for this Half-Life game, I believe have a camera so you can sort of look at the outside world if you want to. But I was going to say about VR, I'm surprised you're not blown away. As I mentioned before about how people talk about Super Mario 64, my first experience where I was so blown away by video games was while playing Astro Bot Rescue Mission on PlayStation 4 VR. I was just absolutely blown away. I couldn't fucking believe it. And it's just like a platform game where you run around and collect stuff. The way they used the VR for that was just so impressive. And to me, if they announce Astro Bot VR Mission 2, for VR, I will pick up a VR 2 and a PlayStation Pro. I hope they will come about the same time, because I have still not a PlayStation 5. So I'm sort of waiting for the Pro version, and then I want to pick up the PlayStation VR headset 2 with that game. And then I hope that Valve will release Half-Life VR on PlayStation 2 VR. So then I have played all of the games. That was a long and weird way of saying I love Half-Life. I played all of them, and I can't wait to play the VR version. But just like you, I don't want to play it on PC. For me, it's just, I really hope it comes to PlayStation.
Yeah. Well, I feel it's a little bit like, you know, the Wii Fit when that came out and all of like the Wii games. I don't like VR, I think, for the same reason. Like, I don't want to stand up when I'm playing games. I don't want to wave my arms around. I just want to relax and not use any, like, muscles. I want to, like, it's a relaxation thing for me, I think. And it's, like, the same way, like, you know, it would be fun to have, like, say that you want to watch The Sopranos, the TV show, like, in VR. You know, that they would create it so that you can walk around the characters and stuff. That would be cool, but you wouldn't want to watch like all six season, like having to walk around and stuff. Sometimes you just want to lay down on the couch, press play, and not like, and maybe I'm a lazy piece of...
No, I agree. Like the only problem I have with VR, we should save this for if we get those blokes from Crossplay over to talk VR. But the only problem I have with VR is that it's, I don't want to stand up either. But that's why Astrobot Rescue Mission is perfect. You don't have to stand up. It's just sitting down. And I can't believe there are not more games like that. It's just such a, it's perfect. You sit down like you used to and play a game the way you would. But it's just that you're inside the world and you can just look around. And, you know, it is like playing a game except that you're inside it. It's, I think that's the perfect setup. Man, I'm surprised that there are not more games like that. I even think like, have you played Silent Hill 1?
No, actually not.
Okay. Well, there's a very infamous or famous scene in that game. You're running into an alley, and this is back on PlayStation 1, and the camera angle is so weird how it's sort of, you're running towards the camera. It's sort of like up in a corner, and then you walk, run towards the camera, and it starts looking down at you, and then you turn a corner, and the camera angle is sort of like twisting a little bit while you're running away. I'm thinking, like, how cool, like, you know, but you do know those old Resident Evil games, Silent Hill and so on, that they have static camera angle. And even Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, for example, there's a static camera angle and you're running in front of it. I'm thinking even that would be fucking cool in VR, that I am the camera angle. And I'm just sitting there as a camera, and then I can just look at, I just control my character like I would in Final Fantasy or Resident Evil. But if I want to look to the right and see if I can find any zombies, I can do that. And then, of course, even with that... Yeah, but that's... this became like very VR heavy, but I can't wait to play Half-Life VR because those games are so creative in so many ways. So I think... I imagine there will be some blow-away moments where they play with VR in a way you would not expect. So...
Yeah. Yeah, probably. But I would say as a last point before I go to the actual news is, yeah, I agree with you. I think I would like to have VR, like where the controls are exactly like the way that you control something like a video game and not like having to, like I can maybe move my head around, but I don't have to. I could just use the controls to move like I would an FPS game, for example. That's like how I would want it to be. And continuing on with the Half-Life anniversary. So the first thing that they did that I think everyone should check out, I mean, whether you play it or not, but they did release an hour-long documentary on how the game was made, like everything from the idea stage and like Gabe and like quitting Microsoft to create this game company and like doing the textures and the music and the AI and like redoing stuff and all of that. So really, really, really well made documentary. And I think it's one of the guys from Noclip, I think, is one of the persons who made it. So it's a really good quality. I really recommend it. And so the things they did with the actual game then is also quite interesting since it's so old, but they still like updated it and patched it. So, for example, they had like a demo of the game that was sent to like in PC game, the PC Gamer magazine and things like that. And they now have bundled that to the actual game so you can play it like officially and not pirated. So it's just included in the game. They've added multiplayer maps. They updated like graphic settings. You could do like 4K if you want to and fixed a lot of issues with like glitches and stuff. They obviously did Steam Deck support, so that works as it should. And they like brought back like the menu screen and stuff from like way back when. Added some like characters and added multiplayer maps and sprays and a lot of bug fixes actually, which is crazy that, you know, somebody would just go in and try and understand that very old code base and then fixed issues and so on. So
I'm looking at some footage from the game now. Yeah. But it's it's not upgraded like a remake or anything. It's just
No. Exactly. It's not Black Mesa, like the remake. It's, you know, it's original, you know, very old looking glory, but in that state, it's better than it used to be, I would say.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice to see that somebody just, I like that these products are kept alive and not just, you know, forgotten like some games. For example, American McGee's Alice. Have you heard, have you played or heard about that game?
Yeah, no.
American McGee's Alice, I think it's called.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, so it's basically, imagine like if you would do a goth version of Alice in Wonderland, and that's the games. And there was recently a lot of drama with like him not being able to create like the third game in that series because Electronic Arts owns the IP. So, you know, he doesn't have the right to like make the last game, even though he's like done this whole 400 page design document and everything. Where was I going with this? Oh yeah, so the second game in the series is, I bought it for PS3 when it came out, but that wasn't launched like digitally, so you can only get it, I think, like on disc, and those discs aren't being printed anymore, so you can't get it anymore. So it's sort of a bannerware. So that was the point, that I'm glad that like Valve is just keeping this product alive and not just, you know, if you would just abandon it, then eventually like your operating system wouldn't be able to play it, and it's just, you know, it's gonna be really hard to even experience it. But I'm glad to they really put effort into keeping it alive.
Yeah, speaking of keeping games alive, there is, have you heard about that, I'm trying to Google as we're talking, like a game museum, I think it is located in the United States, and they are collecting one physical version of every game that ever came out. This is quite old news story. Yeah, but I think the idea, I remember hearing this on like Kind of Funny podcast years ago. But I think the idea is that you as a developer should know about this and you send a physical copy to them. So it's not like them trying to reach out to everyone like, hey, can you send us a physical copy for preservation purposes? So it's sort of up to you as a developer to send your game to them. Maybe they have digital stuff too. But the whole idea is to make sure that games don't disappear, because I agree, it's, I mean, in this online world we're living in, that's the problem. Mag on PlayStation 3 was a massive action game, I think it stands for. Yeah. And it was, Warhawk is another one. Like, you can't play these games. They were online only. So they're gone. And they're only, you know, less than 10 years old. And yeah, it sucks. It is like that. But I guess that's the when you have online only games, that's always going to be a problem. However, I think moving forward, it's going to become more and more common not to have access to games, even though they are single player games, but they have only been released online. Like Knife Boy, for example, is probably going to disappear out of existence at some point. But this museum, which I can't find it right now, just Google it. You can send your games there if you're a developer, and they will keep it there. Sort of reminds me of that Noah's Ark in Svalbard, Norway. You know, they collect all this DNA from plants and animals in a fucking freezer in case the world goes to shit. It's kind of like that for games.
Well, the seed bank, I think. Yeah.
Seed bank.
I think it's called seed bank. You know, it's actually like plant seeds.
Ah.
not something else.
I thought it was like a hole in the wall and you're standing in a Svalbard, like minus 42 Celsius degrees, trying to get a boner.
So like a frozen glory hole.
Yeah.
Well, so news item number two then, I guess. From one Valve thing to another. So the Steam Deck 2, I think you could call it, or like the OLED model of Steam Deck is out. So I'm just gonna list some improvements with this. So it's 7.4 inches and it's OLED, so I think that's another display technology than the original one, which is like more battery efficient. So like the battery lasts longer and it has like a 90 hertz refresh rate, so that's kind of 90 FPS is kind of good for a handheld device, I think. And what else? Better battery life, better performance, so a better processor. And I think it was, oh, you can buy it even in 1 terabyte storage, seems like. Yeah, so cool. I'm glad that they're continuing on with the Steam Deck, because it means like in the background, it's running Linux. I'm really happy as well, as a sort of a good side effect, that this also supports like a lot of stuff for Linux to make it a better like kernel and making that whole ecosystem work better as well. So yeah, I like Valve. They're good guys.
Yeah, I have the... Do you have the original Steam Deck?
No, I was planning on maybe buying it sometime, but I haven't gotten around to it. But yeah, so now I guess I'll go for the better one if I do buy it.
Yeah, I have the original one. I bought it almost a year ago. I think I placed my order 1 year ago. I bought it because I wanted to play Elden Ring. And like I said, I can't play games on PC. So I thought, man, I really want to play Elden Ring. So I bought a Steam Deck and played it on that one. And then I played a couple of more games, not that much, not too many games. I feel like it crashes a little bit too often for me to, and it's not quick enough when you start it up like the Switch. That's my biggest issue with the Steam Deck. I feel like it's kind of like an old school, like a PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4 type of console where you have to start it up and sort of wait until you get into it. I really don't feel like it's snappy enough, because, you know, with a PlayStation 5, even though I don't have one, but I played on one, and the modern consoles and Switch, you just start it up and then there you go. So I felt like the Steam Deck is, at this point, I haven't played on it for, I mean, months. But I did want it because I thought it would be neat to use it while developing Sunset Moon, so I could transfer my game to the Steam Deck for one of the reasons you mentioned, it's Linux. So see if it works on Linux. And also, you know, my goal is, of course, to put my game on the Switch, or maybe Switch 2 by the time my game is done. So I thought it would be a perfect sort of handheld device to try it out on, and also to use the native controllers, if you will. I always think it's a bit weird to test my game on my PC with a controller that I connected to the PC. It never quite translates to when you port your games to console, in my experience. So I thought this would be a great sort of in-between thing to try things out. It's not until like last month I actually got my game up and running on the Steam Deck for the first time. Still have some issues with the mouse input when you in the game, like, it's complicated. But anyway, it's a great console. It's so it's typical that they release an OLED version later on. Switch did that as well. There's this thing, PlayStation Portal, if you've seen that one.
Yeah. Which looks sort of ridiculous, I would say, though. Even though it might be a great device, but it looks like they're just taking like a little screen and then just cut like a PlayStation controller in half and then stuck it on the side.
Yeah, but it's the use case for that one is awesome for someone like me who don't really have time to sit in front of a TV and play games. Now, if I had a PlayStation, I would want that one, because when you have kids, like, you don't have time. So if you have like a 20-minute sort of time slot, that's where the Switch is perfect. And I think that it seems like the PlayStation Portal is just as quick or ish. I can imagine it's not as lag as the Steam Deck, because I thought the Steam Deck would be that thing where you just pick up and play for 20 minutes, but I feel like it's not quick enough and it tends to lag a bit when you just start it up. Or if I start it up and then maybe Loki wakes up, start crying in the night, and I have to turn it off again and going to him and like, well, sleep now. And then it's sort of like get all glitchy and shit. So it's not like the Switch where everything is just so snappy. But I imagine that the Portal is going to be way snappier than the Steam Deck. So to me, the PlayStation Portal will be perfect. But to my point, I imagine they're going to release an OLED version later on. And you always want the OLED version, because the PlayStation Vita was an OLED, the original one. And later on, I got the sort of B version of the Vita, and it's just like day and night, man. OLED is just not perfect. So I want the Steam Deck OLED. I wonder how much I can trade in my original Steam Deck for. It might be worth it.
So, like, on that point with OLED, so except for, like, being more battery efficient, what does it do in terms of, like, display? Because I know that you could buy like a full size TV in OLED as well, and there's LED and there's LCD and plasma and stuff, so I'm not really 100% on what those different things do. So for OLED, what would you say is like the killer app, or, you know, the killer feature with it?
Yeah, I'm not an expert either, but the contrast is really good on OLED, the black and whites, which makes a big difference. And I think the best example you can do on an OLED, just by playing on a PlayStation Vita and the original one, the original PlayStation Vita had an OLED, and the sort of B version that came out later don't have the OLED. I think it's a huge difference in color, first off. It is so crisp on an OLED. It's kind of like, I imagine it, like if you look at your cell phone, you don't see the pixels. No matter how close you are, you don't see any pixels. And that's sort of OLED in my opinion. So you don't see the pixels or anything like that. It's just so sharp and crisp. And the blacks and whites are, well, day and night. So it makes all the colors pop. It's a huge difference when you, in my opinion. Like when I got my first, did we have an OLED? No, I don't think I ever had anything with OLED. Well, except the PlayStation Portable. Oh, I went to my cousin, and then I just asked him, like, start the Gravity Rush, it's called Gravity Rush in the West. Gravity Days here. It's a PlayStation game. It's very colorful. And I was like, launch this game. I want to see it on OLED. And it's just like, wow. Everything is just so beautiful on OLED. So that's it, really. It's beautiful.
Cool. Very cool. I'll have to pay attention next time I see some OLED display, I think. So for the next news item, GTA 6 leaks. So I assume you have played the GTA games.
Yes, I have played. Well, I think I mentioned this before, but GTA 3, I played Into Oblivion. I think that's how big I want open world games to be, not bigger. I think we talked about this a couple of months ago. But and then after that, I played Vice City and then San Andreas. And ever since I played San Andreas, I have had this sort of, I don't like open world. I just don't like it. It's just something. I broke myself while playing San Andreas. And that was just like, because I played so much open world. And then when I played San Andreas, I was just like, no, fuck it. I'm done with it. So I have played all of the Grand Theft Auto games since then, but I don't think I ever finished one. And this is because of their open world, and I get distracted, and I don't know. It's not my cup of tea to play open world games anymore. But recently I learned to sort of stick to the main story and just do it that way. I want to go back and play Horizon and Spider-Man, and then Miles Morales, whatever, and then Spider-Man 2. These are all open world games, but you can obviously just play them for the main story. But my OCD don't allow me to do that. I have to do fucking everything, and then I get sick of them, and then I stop playing, like, maybe 25% through the main story. But recently I learned to sort of ignore all the other things. And again, I think it goes back to being a dad and I don't have time to play games. And it's just like, when I play, I'm just going to fucking play the story because otherwise I will have to play like a game like Spider-Man would take me a year to finish if I'm going to do all of it. So that being said, I am quite excited for Grand Theft Auto 6. I haven't finished the fourth and the fifth one, but obviously I play them just to mess around and have fun. How about you?
So yeah, I haven't played the first or the second, and I think the third and Vice City I played like at the neighbors, like when we were kids, we used to, you know, go from house to house and, you know, play with each other's video games and stuff and do stuff together. And we used to play GTA 3, I think, mostly. And, you know, it was like the standard stuff, like hitting like the police with a baseball bat and then running. And, you know, we thought it was hilarious. But then I played the GTA 4. It's like the first one that I really played like from start to finish. And then I played through all of the expansions as well. And then I played through GTA 5 as well, through the whole story and stuff. So I would say absolutely that GTA 4, like the original game, is my absolute favorite, like character and favorite story and gameplay and everything.
Yeah, I have fond memories of GTA 4 as well because it takes place in New York. I am not a big fan of LA in the real world and also in the games because it's just flat.
Yeah,
I don't know
exactly
what it is. It's flat and spread out. I don't like that. Living in Tokyo, especially, everything is so compact and cozy. And to me, New York is the most beautiful American city. I think Chicago is quite compact as well. But anyway, San Francisco, parts of it is quite compact. I like that kind of stuff. But yeah, LA, not my favorite city in games or in the real world. But Grand Theft Auto 4 in New York, I also thought it was cool that you were this Russian fella coming on the boat and all that stuff. It felt a little bit more mafia-ish in some way. I don't remember much of it, but I did play through, I think I played through the whole story in that game. Well, obviously, I don't remember, so I guess it didn't, it wasn't that impactful. But I'm sure, yeah. I didn't play through Grand Theft Auto 5 at least. But also, back then, I was... Grand Theft Auto 4, I'm sure I did the main story because I was old enough to sort of understand it. But you're talking about Grand Theft Auto 3. What we did back then was just running around hitting the police and all that stuff. I didn't get it. Like the story, the English and all that stuff, I didn't understand back then. So I would also just mess around. And someone told us in school that if you get $1 million, you will unlock the second island in the game, which you obviously do through storylines. And this is weird because I do believe internet was a thing back then, but we just believe it. And then my brother and I, we worked as a firefighter in Grand Theft Auto 3. And every time you put out a fire, your guarantee or the money you make for the next fire, it goes up, 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 up. And we did that for fucking ever. And then we made $1 million in the game and it did not unlock the second island. So...
I don't know what it is with like kids and like making up lies about stuff you can unlock in video games. I remember I played like Age of Empires 1 like way back in the day, and there was this friend of mine who also had the game. I don't know why he did it or why he said it or if he heard it, but you know, there's like this one map where you start like, this is where you start, and then you have like fog of war all around you, and then he said, you know, we did like use the cheat codes a bunch and stuff, but he said for some reason that if you, like on that specific map, if you could like go to, like there was this like cheat unit, I think it was like the stormtrooper or, you know, one of those units who can send like nukes like all across the map, like that was like hidden like behind a couple of trees or something. And he said, well, it's located there, and it's like one of the sheep in the game that if you go close to it, then you, like, it gets converted to you, to your team. But it like self-destructs in like 5 seconds from starting the game. So you have to like try to make it there like with a villager or something like instantaneously. And I, you know, I tried and tried and tried and, you know, there was always nothing there. And I thought, oh, I just didn't make it in time. But looking back, like, why the fuck would that be a thing? It's just so really weird. But it's, you know, I've heard a lot of places where, like, similar stuff, like kids make up stuff that you can unlock in games that can't be verified for some reason. Really weird.
Yeah, I love it. There's also this myth about Final Fantasy VII, and I'm quite curious to see if they're gonna lean into it in the next version, in the next remake game, Rebirth. And I believe it is a... the story was that there's this guy sitting in Ilgar Shantytown, and he's sort of leaning... he's sort of like hunching over. And I believe you the myth or the legend was that there's a puddle of water in front of him, and you can see his face reflection in it. And it's Zack sitting there who, yeah, is not in that world. But then, you know, yeah, anyway, it's... oh, and also something about Aerith that you can make her... oh, you haven't played this game, so I'm not going to spoil it, but... that was there are two big myths about the original Final Fantasy VII, as far as I can tell, and we were just obsessed in figuring out how to unlock these things, and we never did. That's the shitty part about this online world we're living in, that you can't make those.
There's myths. No mystery anymore.
No, now that I make Sunset Moon, I hope I can get a small community who really likes the game, and they will share stories with each other, because what people say and the things you can do, it sort of changes based on if you're a man or a woman and your class and all that stuff. So I hope we can create a little bit of that sort of mystery. You play as one person and then you think, I wonder what would happen if I was a man and did this, for example. Anyway, it's, but I'm happy we lived through that when we were just fucking lying to each other.
I think that's something that, like, similar to, like, cheat codes in games that's also disappearing, that it would be fun, now that I think about it, to leave, like, secrets and stuff. Like, I remember, for example, Lego Racer I played a lot, and that has a lot of secrets and, like, shortcuts and stuff. And then you have, like, the Harry Potter game, at least the first three on PC, who also had like tons of like secret doors or secret chambers and stuff. And it feels like there's too little people or too few studios doing stuff like that in their games. It's all like what you see, it's what you get. And, you know, some mystery and there's, you know, you can't, you know, you don't know exactly everything that's going to be in the game just from playing it like you're like supposed to.
Now that you say that, I think I have in Knife Boy on Switch and PC, I think I have a way, you can unlock a debug menu if you go somewhere within a minute or something along those lines. Huh. I can't even remember if it's in the game or not, or if I just kept it there for myself when I tried to, you know, play test the game. But I'm pretty sure you can get like the debug menu somehow.
It makes it even better that you're not sure.
I would have to go into the code and see if that's possible. Interesting.
Yeah, that's like the Konami code.
Which one is that?
So I think that's, I don't know what the code is, but I think on some like Nintendo games, like on the NES, you could like press BA and a couple of like arrow and so on. And that would just always unlock like unlimited health and stuff. And like the developers just kept that in for testing purposes. Because then you couldn't like, it wasn't as easy. You had to like write it to a disk or something.
Mm. See, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Those, a lot of old games had that. I was going to say in Red Colony 2, I sort of made there's an area you can enter towards the end of the game. And then I made a drawing on a wall that showcased as soon as you start the game, there's a place you can crawl. And then you get three keys, which you can then use to unlock three lockers and get all the outfits of the game. So, but in that case, it's kind of like on your second playthrough, because you wouldn't know that until the end of the your first playthrough. But then if you play the game again, you know that, okay, if I go in here, I get these three things and then I can unlock all the outfits so I can play the whole game in bra and underwear or the police outfit and the third outfit. I don't remember what it was, but
yeah.
So, yeah, but I agree. Yeah, I agree. It sucks that those things are not in games anymore.
Yeah. You know what we should do for bonus episodes when we get like enough listeners to have some Patreon or something, is that we should do like a playthrough of those games or Knife Boy, where, you know, you can be there and I'll play it. And then I'll probably just comment on like playing it and stuff. And, you know, that would be like probably a super long video that you would cut up into chunks or something.
Oh, but yeah,
that would be fun to sort of, I can give you my perspective and stuff. And there's probably going to be, you know, unexpected stuff or, you know, that would be fun.
With Red Colony 1, I think Adam and I did, was it all Red Colony 1? We did something along those lines. But I didn't spoil the game. So if we do that, I would like to spoil it. Like all the these Easter eggs that you... Because there is some Easter eggs that are super... Well, I think they're pretty damn cool. That I don't think anyone figured out. So that would be fun. Spoil that.
Cool. Well, I guess if we put it behind that paywall, then, you know, people wouldn't stumble upon it. Then you would only see it and get spoiled if you absolutely... commit to it, I guess. So
yes,
yeah, it'll be fun. We could do a super short playthrough of my failed farming game as well.
Yes, that would be fun.
Yeah, I think that video would probably be like 5 minutes, so
yeah, but there are probably a lot of things to say about it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there's... It did take some time to develop it to the point where it got to, but yeah, it's still sort of, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, someday maybe I should either like finish it or like make it open source. So if anyone wanna like fix it, then be my guest.
Yeah, I have still, I think I mentioned before, but I still wanna sort of... release Red Colony 1, because Red Colony 1 doesn't have any paid assets in it. It's all made by myself with the help of YouTube tutorials, of course. A part of me want to release the whole game on like Unity, so you can download it for free and just basically get everything. And then you can just swap things out and make your own version. Because I mentioned many times, I only make games that I want to play. And I would be stoked if someone made a fucking ridiculous game like Red Colony in terms of story and a little bit of the fan service and the anime aspect of it and like all those goofy things combined, which I think makes Red Colony unique and fun. I wish someone else did that, not me, so I could experience it instead of making it. So that's still on my to-do list to release the whole game like that. So anyone can download it and hopefully, you know, they will change the art and all that stuff. So it's not Maria and James and all these guys.
If we get more listeners, we could have like a Red Colony modding competition. So like the best skins or the best story or whatever it is. That would be fun.
I still have this dream to put it on PlayStation. I mean, just before we got kicked out of Sweden, I made it work on my PlayStation 5 dev kit. Which was a bummer that we, I mean, all three games worked from start to finish and then we had to leave. So I was just about to send them into PlayStation, I believe, before we got my wife's visa got canceled. But if we're back to Sweden next year, I am maybe gonna revisit the Red Colony games. And now that with the help of ChatGPT, I feel like I would be able to fix all the scripts, because it's a very buggy game. And now I'm, you know, doing JSON files and stuff on it for Sunset Moon. So I learned this load and save system quite well. So I would love to go back to redo the Red Colony games, maybe put them all in one game. So just all in one file. And then there is this other untold story that I would like to include in that and release it for PlayStation. But, you know, that's...
Cool.
And if we did that, if I did that, and we have listeners who would like to contribute with the skins and stuff, that would be perfect to maybe put that in the game. Because actually, one of the ideas of the original game was that, well, you get attacked by zombies and they rip your clothes off. Very fan servicey. But the idea was that you would have to make it to the mall in Red Colony 1, where you enter a clothes shop. You still enter the shop in the game. But the idea was that you would find new clothes and go into a dressing room and get new clothes, and thus your health is up again. So that was one of the original ideas, which I couldn't pull off because, you know, I sucked at programming and all that stuff. But this is something I would like to have if I remake the whole game. So you could just have like maybe 10 or 15 outfits. And then, so in Red Colony 1, you have like, I don't know, 4 outfits, and Red Colony 2 you have more, and Red Colony 3 you have more, and then maybe some codes you can unlock all of them and just use whatever you want for fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough about Red Colony.
Cool, very cool. I really hope you can do something like that. It would be fun to play them as well. Yeah. All right, so I guess last news item then. So, apparently there's a live-action Legend of Zelda movie that is officially announced. So, yeah, I don't know. I haven't played the Legend of Zelda games other than just trying it out like once or twice. So, I'm not that familiar with the franchise, but I really, you know, in one way, I think it's cool that you can do more. People are daring to do video game movies again, and, you know, there's a lot of stories I think that could be told in movie form, and it would really be amazing. But I don't get why every one of these, like, movifications of video game properties should always be live action. As I said before, it's like, people don't have confidence that video games can be for adults as well. So, you know, they have to make it live action to, like, make it real or something. Because there's, you know, some stuff just looks so ridiculous in live action where it doesn't when it's animated. So I don't get why we need to have it, like, with a, like, I don't know, what is it called, Chris Pine as Link or something. I don't know. I think just having it animated as it is, because nobody looks like the actual character, because he doesn't look like an actual human, just a cartoon of a human. I don't know. What's your take on it?
Yeah, a part of me think that is some sort of artistic bullshit, pretentious asshole sitting somewhere. Well, I'm thinking it's going to be live action. And then people go, well, it's, you know, it's kind of animated. Yeah, but I'm the artist here. That's a part of me thinks like that. But then you look at Cyberpunk had their animated show, which was very successful and really cool. Yeah, Super Mario, man,
yeah,
I
exactly. Absolutely
loved it. It was just so good. So nostalgic. I really thought it was an amazing movie. I'm not like a movie guy, so usually the stuff my wife and I enjoys watching is considered crap from people who watch movies and know that kind of stuff. But I really enjoyed the Mario movie, the Cyberpunk one. I have yet to see the Last of Us show. I mean, I think in that case, it makes sense to make it live action. From what I've seen, though, it seems quite cheap. Like, well, I haven't seen any zombies or anything like that. It seems to be more like a drama, but I mean, it won some Oscars and stuff, so it's obviously a really good movie. And I want to watch a series, and I really want to watch it. So maybe closer to The Last of Us Season 2, I'm going to try to convince my wife to we watch that one together. And another cool thing I enjoy, or from what I've heard, I haven't heard that much, but it seems like they're not sticking to the script to 100%, which I like. So they're being a little bit taking some freedom to do certain things in a different way in the movie, being the series. Twisted Metal is another live action film from the Twisted Metal game, if you ever play that one.
I have not.
Well, that's a classic. I love the Twisted Metal 2 in particular when I was a kid.
So that's the one with the clowns and like destroying each other with cars and stuff.
Yes, Sweet Tooth. So that's that show is supposed to be pretty good too. But then you have Horizon is coming to Netflix. That sounds really weird. And that feels like a movie you are a series, a show you can't make unless it's really expensive because you have all these huge dinosaurs. I'm really curious how they're going to pull it off because I think that's what makes the game interesting is those dinosaurs and the epicness of the environments and all that stuff. So I don't really know how they're going to pull that off in a Netflix show. It must cost a lot to make it sort of have that impact. So then it makes me think that they're going to make some sort of, focus more on characters and stuff, which I haven't seen Last of Us, but I imagine that's what it's sort of focusing on to keep the cost down. But maybe, in fact, I don't know. I haven't watched The Last of Us, but from what I've seen, it's, I suppose it doesn't look cheap. But it doesn't look like a AAA Hollywood movie, which I suppose makes sense. Like it's a series. But back to Link, I think that one makes perfect sense to have cartoon or animated like the Mario movie. It's going to be weird to watch it live action. So I do think it depends on what kind of IP it is.
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing, that I think also that it matters a lot what the source material is. I'm not familiar with Legend of Zelda, as I said, but I think, for example, The Witcher, I think, is something good to adapt into a movie format or a series format, because there is a lot of story there, and it's based on a book, so it's, you know, the narrative is sort of what drives the IP. But like I imagine, like Zelda is like the gameplay is sort of the core thing. It's not like a lot of complicated story or anything like that. And you know, it's not like in The Witcher you have like all these creatures and all these like potions and all of these organizations, and it's very like complicated. But I imagine, like, without knowing, like, The Legend of Zelda, there's, like, yeah, well, we have this sort of monster, which is a frog monster, and this blah, blah, blah monster, and then this boss, and, you know, it's... So, it feels like that was also the case with The Last of Us. It was a great series, but I felt ultimately that it wasn't made better by filming it. It was made worse. Not like
so you watched
to make
that
it
one.
Bad, but, you know, yeah, I did. So, like, you know, it's great, but it would have been better if I just played the game, to be honest. Because, like, the voice acting is better, like, the story is longer, and, you know, there's just more to it. And it skipped over so many parts, and there was just, like, one character in particular. If you've seen the show, then you know that one character was cut out of the show, and they just read his like goodbye letter, like, oh, I'm dead already, blah, blah, blah. And that was like a really great character that wasn't dead in the game. A lot of that stuff, and there's just that they just skipped over that I would really like to see, but
Interesting.
What you gonna do?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, the Legend of Zelda movie or series. It's supposed to be in cooperation with Sony PlayStation movie studio, whatever they call it, Sony. Yeah. And I think it would be cool if they made a Zelda series or a movie. It's a movie, right? It's not a series movie. I think it would be cool if they made it like...
Yeah, it's a movie, yes, I understand.
Yeah. Like the... Have you seen the Spider-Verse movies? Sort of like a really strange...
Love those.
Yeah. The animations and the graphics or whatever you want to call it, it's just so cool. I would say that I would be more into that kind of a Zelda movie rather than a live action one. Live action seems weird. But hey, they've proven us wrong when it comes to The Last of Us in like for most people. You didn't seem to be so high on it, but most people say it's great. And Twisted Metal, The Witcher, so, but it seems to, this movification of games, it's not what it used to be. So I give the benefit of the doubt, but I think Zelda would, because you mentioned before, like, there's no story in Zelda, basically, which it isn't. You save the princess.
That I know of, at least.
Yeah, well, it's basically like that. But the same goes with Super Mario. You save the princess, but they managed to make a whole movie about it, which I thought was cool about the movie, is that they made a story about it. It's basically the same as the games, that Bowser take the princess and you have to save her. But it's just like... I feel like they could do the same with Zelda, and then I'm just imagining it in this sort of Spider-Verse type of graphics and sort of targeting teenagers-ish with a lot of fan service for older gamers. I think that would be sweet, but who knows what it's going to turn out. I'm just thinking about all these characters in Zelda, like the rock people living in the mountains. I forgot what they're called. They could be cool in live action, but it just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Not sure, but I give them the benefit of the doubt because I feel like we have gotten a lot of great movies based on games. I have watched only maybe two of them.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that they have an actual story to tell and it's not just like looking at Sony and, oh shit, they're making movies. We gotta make movies. Go! Or something like that. Like that they rather just there is like, oh, this thing can only be told in a movie format. This is like the best way to tell the story, even if we could choose a game and a movie and a TV series, like the movie is the best format for it. That's how we want to experience it, not like, well, we gotta have like a Nintendo movie studio as well, can't let Sony do it all.
Yeah, no, I hope so too.
All right, so I think that's all the news items. I think we should perhaps wrap this episode up. What do you say?
Yeah, sounds good.
Good. It's been good. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the news stories. Please send a voicemail. Maybe you could say congratulations on 1 year or something.
Yes.
I don't know. Someday I'm going to get that voicemail.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that will do it for this episode. Thank you for listening, as I said. And thank you, Ruin, for being my amazing co-host, as always.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week. That will be the second to last before the big 1 year anniversary episode. So,
yeah.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Sayonara. Bye-bye.